There's a better place to get your podcast. GCNlive.com. Hundreds of thousands of hours. Archive for your listening pleasure. All free at GCNlive.com.
7.
Welcome to the Dr. Joy Brown Show. Call Dr. Joy at 855-99-DR-JOY.
Alrighty, 855-99-3-7-5-6-9. A good time to call me about whatever it is that's on your mind, because that's what we really talk about around here. And today is, we're kind of quickly approaching the end of the summer. Have you noticed that? My favorite was an email from somebody who said, "Did you realize it's only 20 Fridays until Christmas?" Which, and at Christmas, it turns out, I think is a Friday. So there we go. Did you realize that, Trevor? Had you sort of put that in your noted calendar yet?
That Christmas is so kind of fast approaching, or that summer is ending also. Both of those things, are kind of painful, really. I love Christmas, but it's just I'm not quite done with summer.
Well, I'm not quite done, and with this year. I mean, this year has kind of gone at the speed of light. So
super fast.
Yeah. And although I remember being a small kid and saying, "Oh, I wish it was my birthday. I wish it was Christmas." I remember my mother saying, "Don't wish your life away. It'll go quickly enough."
Oh, yeah.
And the older I get, the more I realize I hate it when Mom is right about stuff like that. So what can I tell you? Well, I have to tell you two things, my Subway stories, because I told you the icky one. But it's part of the reason I probably enjoy riding the Subway as much as I do, is last week a whole bunch of us were, it was very crowded. And two things happened. I'll tell you the silly one first, then I'll tell you the other one that was kind of interesting. So this young dude sits down, and his friend is sitting with him. And understand, it's a very crowded Subway. And in the old days, the idea that guys would give you their seat, forget about it. Just doesn't happen. Although that's my second story, so I'll tell you that in a minute. Okay, so this young dude sits down, and his friend is with him, and he hands him a suitcase. And the guy says, because there's not very much room in the train. And so he hands him a suitcase, this big, it's big carry-on, to put on his lap. And the guy says, "What do you got in here, a body?" Instantly, everybody on the train is looking, because this is a city in which it wouldn't be completely out of the realms of possibility.
Oh, no.
And I said, "He'd have to be folded up." Because, right?
That's dark.
And so the woman next to me, I said, "Can we use another metaphor?" That's the first thing I said. I said, "Can we use another metaphor, like maybe, what do you got in here, gold bouillon or chocolate?" So now we've got this entire sort of community of people who are standing, because we're really cheek to jowl, sort of getting involved in this conversation. And someone said, "Yeah, body, not a good idea." And I said, "Yeah, it'd have to be folded." And then it occurred to either me or someone else to say, "No, it could just be parts." And so we're having this entire discussion of what could be in the suitcase with these. And they obviously had to be a tourist because they had a suitcase. So, but it was fascinating to me how all of us were strangers. None of us knew each other except these two dudes, I assume. And there were probably about 10 of us involved in this conversation of what could be in the particular luggage. They may have gotten off the train before it was actually their stop. It's okay. So, but it was just, that seemed to me just a very quintessential New York moment of, "Well, there's a body in here." "What?" No, he said, "What do you have in here, body?" All right. So the other thing was another crowded Subway. And a very pregnant woman gets on. Now, was this a pregnant woman? It didn't make a difference. She was either pregnant or old, or maybe both. And I guarantee you, 9 times out of 10 on the train, if somebody gives up a seat, it's a woman giving it up to somebody else. Men, for some reason, maybe they've decided for all those years that they had to give up the suit, they're never going to do it again. So I don't know exactly what it is, but trust me, if somebody gives up a seat on the train, it's a woman. So I gave up my seat. And so the woman sits down, and she's very grateful. And then everybody on the same side of the train that I'm on sort of shifts around. So the guy gets up to give me a seat. Then a younger woman gets up. So everybody's shifting around to give me a seat. And so then we've got, like about 10 people involved in this production of who gets to sit and who doesn't. But it was just, there's something about riding the train. And I guess part of it is I'm a psychologist. I guess part of it is that the kind of work I do with you guys is a little bit isolating. I mean, it's wonderful and it's fun, it's stimulating, and I get to talk with a lot of people, but I don't get to have the kind of personal, as many of you can guess from listening to the program, I'm kind of an intimacy junkie. And so the train, in some ways, is kind of a reminder of how the world works, outside of people asking my opinion, outside of the context in which I live most of my life, outside of the group of friends that I have, I can't imagine my life without it. I can't imagine losing that sort of part of how we all relate to one another. And for me, the trains in general, I mean, there's just a sense of community that I think, and it's like being on an airplane, right? If you've ever been on an airplane, you're sitting next to a person you'll never see again, and all of a sudden you're telling your life story. I mean, it happens to me all the time, but that happens to me everywhere. But I think there is that connection with strangers that is part of how we live our lives and part of how we view ourselves. I think it's part of how we learn. I think it's part of how we assess who we are in the cosmos. And for me, it's mama's milk. So there we go. Okay. So I thought this is maybe talking. This is the dark side of the community on a train. We were talking about it. I'm trying to remember exactly how this came up about sexual harassment. There was a story last week. Do you remember, Trevor? There was a story last week of somebody who was suing somebody else for sexual harassment.
Ooh, it doesn't ring a bell.
It may even, I don't think it was the Cosby case, because that one keeps popping up at irregular but predictable intervals. But at any rate, so have you ever been sexually harassed, Trev?
No, I can't think of
any. Rats? Well,
it's just, I don't think a lot. Don't want to say something stupid, but I don't think a lot of men really ultimately experience sexual harassment.
You're basically right, but I think let me just tell you a story, as I've mentioned, I've been having terrible problems with being hacked, and have gotten. Luckily, my bank has been very responsive, and they keep sending people over. Before I was hacked, I had a problem with bill payments, so. They've been, and my bank is incredibly responsive. They are just, they're really great. It's First Republic, I will just tell you that, in case you're looking for a bank. I highly recommend them. So they sent somebody over to help me, and he was really nice, and he offered, he tried, he couldn't actually solve the problem that we had, so he was going to have to send somebody else. But he offered, I have to get a new computer, and he said, well, I'll come and help you with it or whatever. And he just was incredibly kind when I was feeling just overwhelmed. And so I said, look, I'll take you to a screening. And at the time, I thought he was a little, a little uncomfortable, just or maybe it was just unexpected or whatever. And I said, just send me back an email and let me know that you can do it or not do it. And we had some other issues. There were like three other, and one of them was, did he want to go to the screening? And I never heard back from him, and I thought, I was anguished. I thought, you've really made him uncomfortable. Maybe he thinks you were hitting on him, which I was not. And maybe there's some issues about customers or clients, I don't know. It turned out that was part of the hacking, that the hacker was taking all of my correspondence between the bank and deleting it. So I wasn't getting any information from him. So what I had thought was that I had made him uncomfortable. Turned out not to be the case, but I didn't know any of this. So after a couple of days, I still needed the information, and so I called up and I said, "Look, I apologize. My intent was not to make you uncomfortable," and I didn't say sexually harassed. I just said I didn't mean to make you uncomfortable. And it turned out he didn't feel that way. They did actually sent me an email with answers to the questions, including, "Yeah, I'd love to go to the screening." And by then, but it was. So, I don't know. Apparently, he wasn't feeling sexually harassed. But, it occurred to me after the fact that maybe, I had done something inappropriate. It was not my intent, but could have been interpreted that way. So there's an example of something at least was potentially, except it wasn't. It wasn't the intent, and it wasn't received that way. But I thought I'd just share it for the sake of idiocy. I don't know. All right, sexual harassment. When we return, give me a call. I'm Dr. Joy Brown.
Connect with Dr. Joy on Facebook.com and Twitter.com/Dr. Joy Brown Show.
Many are in disbelief today after word of shocking allegations against a Minnesota-based talk syndication company known as GCN. It's claimed that they're the fourth largest talk syndication company in the U.S., making it even more scandalous that they've been accused of helping business owners expose themselves on a massive scale. Let's go live to Tom for more on this story.
It's being called the greatest exposure of our lifetime, while other business owners are beginning to step forward claiming they, too, exposed themselves. With the help of GCN.
It's true. They're all guilty. Every last one of them. GCN helped me get the exposure my company needed, and just think, that was years ago. Today, GCN has like 700 affiliate stations and over 6 million downloads from iTunes and their website every month.
Imagine the exposure your company can get.
Expose your business to the masses. Email advertise at GCNlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective. GCN.
Sciatica, lower back pain, hip pain, poor posture. If you suffer from any of these problems, get ready to relax. Introducing an amazing product that's been in the market for over 25 years, the Sacro Wedgie. It was invented by a football coach using a common sense osteopath technique. He created this device to help his athletes by isolating and supporting the sacrum, which is the keystone of our anatomy. This wedge-shaped bone is in the center of our hips, where a lot of pain starts. Simply relax 20 minutes daily on the amazingly simple Sacro Wedgie and let gravity do the work, helping muscles rebalance and start releasing nerves. Sit in the Sacro Wedgie at the computer or while traveling to help correct posture to finally help relieve those stubborn aches and pains for only $33.95. It's made in the USA, so click the family-owned website at sacrowedgie.com, spelled S-A-C-R-O-W-E-D-G-Y.com, or call 1-800-737-9295. That's 1-800-737-9295. Relax your back pain away with the Sacro Wedgie.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state in back taxes, you know they'll never stop coming after you. With bank levies, wage garnishments, they'll even seize your home or business. The good news? A government program for tax debt forgiveness. It's called the Fresh Start Initiative.
I'm Paul Sibley with U.S. Tax Shield. We can help navigate the new laws, get you protected, and resolve your tax issues permanently.
Call the experts at U.S. Tax Shield now for your free consultation and get a guaranteed quote to resolve your case. Call 800-436-6451. That's 800-436-6451.
As if chlorine in our water weren't bad enough, now they're adding ammonia?
It's true. Some municipalities are now adding ammonia plus chlorine to your water supply. It's a disinfectant called chloramine. But with a trusted Big Berkey water filter, you can keep chloramine out of your water. New NSF EPA certified lab tests show EPA Berkey water filters remove chloramines, pharmaceuticals, BPA, pesticides, bacteria and viruses, all forms of fluoride, and much more. Big Berkey water filters are the original and most trusted on the market. The gold standard in water purification. And our filters last for years at less than 2 cents per gallon. Big Berkey, the one that it's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get your Big Berkey today. Call 1-877-99-BERKEY or click BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
The human body is more than 60% water. Your brain and muscles are 75% water. And your blood is 92% water. Water is vital to your body, and alkalizing your water is the key to keep it running at its best. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops keep your entire body healthy, boosts energy, promotes weight loss, and even fights cancer. Call 800-518-7615 or go to AlkaVision.com to find out more. That's ALKAVision.com.
With Dr. Joy Brown. Call Dr. Joy at 855-99-DR-JOY.
All righty, we are talking at this moment about sexual harassment, and has it ever happened to you, and what was the situation as far as you're concerned? 855-993-7569. Trevor's saying no. I gave an example of a time that I thought that maybe someone thought I had sexually harassed them, which I didn't. And he didn't think that, it turns out. But I just sort of misinterpreted as that, apparently. Thank goodness. but I'm, by definition, sexual harassment, I was going to say, has to do with power. On the subways, I mean, there are actually signs in the subways that say, you know, that your right to work should not include sexual assault. Sexual harassment tends to imply a power differential, which I'm not sure is always the case. And I think that if you've ever been a woman working in a man's environment, I think that there, I'm not certain I would call it harassment. And I guess part of it is that harassment may be kind of in the eye of the beholder. I've certainly been, I think, subjected to different kinds of scrutiny, different kinds of behavior than a male colleague would. I mean, part of it is that most of my career I've worked in places which have been primarily male, and occasionally I was the only woman. And I don't think the intent in most cases, I think in a couple cases it was absolutely a power kind of thing where someone said that I had to go out with their friend, and the friend said, well, he said you would spend the night with me. And I went back in the next day and said, if you ever do that again, I'll sue you. And he actually fired me, which I thought he had the right to do. He had the right to fire me, and basically for any reason he wanted, but he couldn't harass me like that. He couldn't. And I think in general that I think a lot of women who have felt that they were under sexual pressure is kind of a misunderstanding, a disconnect between men's notion of how to be friendly and flirtatious, because I don't think flirtation really belongs in the workplace at all. But the line, one of the horrifying studies that was done about 10 years ago, and this came out specifically when Arnold Schwarzenegger was accused of sexual harassment, which at the time I knew was the case, and he denied it, and the women got vilified. But there was a study that came out about that time, because I remember it in conjunction with trying to explain this to people, that if you show women pictures of a smiley-faced woman, they say that she's being friendly. If you show men pictures of a smiley-faced woman, they say that that she's sexually available. And it happened across the board, study after study after study. And I think what that says is that we haven't done a very good job of educating men about what cues are sexual and what are just friendly. And that's as much an issue about women communicating and men's perception of women and women's perception of men as anything else. So I think that there have been occasions where men, and kind of like in the example I just gave about myself, where I was not sure that my intent was innocent. I was not sure how it was interpreted. It turned out it was interpreted as innocence, but I didn't know it at the time. So the point being that communicate that first of all, if as a woman you ever feel like you're being sexually harassed and want to sue about it, the law says that you have to say to somebody, look, don't do this, before you actually have the grounds for a suit, which I'm in favor of, just because saying don't do it gives somebody some more information that this is not flirting, it's not acceptable, it's not welcome, it's not friendly, it's not anything except uncomfortable and unfair and illegal. So, all right, let's see what people have to say.
Know, do you mind if I add something?
No, please go ahead.
I think it's interesting, and I think that women, unfortunately, bear the brunt of this particular social phenomenon more than anything. Recently, well, maybe it was last summer, they did a kind of hidden camera thing where a woman walked up and down, kind of just normally, what's called Nicollet Mall in Minneapolis, where I live, where I've been okay. many, many times.
Okay.
And the amount of times that people call out to her, men call out to her and are rude and sexual and lewd, and it was, I couldn't believe it. It was a city that I've lived in for a while, an area that I'd been in and not been talked to or called out to or anything, and it floored me. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, I think it's great as a man that you're kind of becoming aware of it, because as women we sort of know that it happens, and the question is it comfortable or is it uncomfortable? And some women, I mean, I know women who feel that being called darling or sweetie or a girl is flattering. There are a whole bunch of us who don't. So the question is, you know, which category do you fall into? And again, I think the deal is just communicating it. And you don't have to be angry. You don't have to be unpleasant. All you have to do is just say, that doesn't work for me. And that's the deal of just communicating it. But yeah, and there's this kind of a subcategory that was, I just happened to know about it because it happened at Rice, where there were there was a woman who went on a job interview, and then she went on a job interview as a pregnant woman, and the different responses that she got, and whether or not she was offered the job with exactly the same credentials, but when she appeared pregnant and when she was not. So there's a whole lot of issues about women in the workplace and changing times and all sorts of things. So we're learning. It's a brave new world. But, I mean, we really can learn together on this. It really is something that that makes some sense to talk about it, to have a dialogue, and then not necessarily be angry and not necessarily to vilify somebody one way or the other. I'm not even saying you have to give somebody the benefit of the doubt. You just have to talk to them. You just have to chat with them about what's going on. Already 855-993-7569. All right, so let's look at. So you're not going to that mall anymore, huh?
Well, no. I mean, it's a street essentially, so I got to go there sometimes. But
no,
it's something I'm more aware of. You know,
yeah.
I guess I was a little naive to think that it didn't happen, but I thought, you know, we're getting to the point where it happens less. But I guess I was wrong.
What you're thinking is, well, gee, how do I, you know, how am I friendly? How do I have to pretend that I'm, you know, a monk? And I think the answer is no. A smile. Is quite often acceptable and charming, and then the woman can do whatever she wants about it. She can ignore it. She can smile back. She can say thanks. There are lots of ways of being, of sort of showing your admiration for somebody of the opposite sex without being harassing. And I mean, think about if it were your mother or your sister, how it would be acceptable if you were her escort. What would be okay and what would not, and behave accordingly. Alrighty, 855-993-7569. All right, let's see what other people have said about sexual harassment.
Yeah. Robert says, I have not been the victim of sexual harassment, but I've been a victim of age discrimination and also of reverse discrimination. Just let it run off my shoulders and moved on with life.
Okay. I mean, listen, I think the issue for me, and part of this is just, you know, my sort of Don Quixote complex, is figuring that I can, you know, that I can sort of stand up for myself, and therefore I do it for people who can't. But, I'm not saying that everybody has to. But, you know, acceptance is acceptance. 855-993-7569. I'm Dr. Joy Brown.
Call Dr. Joy at 855-99-DR-JOY.
You're running your business, and we at Wix.com know things can get stressful. But creating your website doesn't have to be. With Wix, you can create a professional website all by yourself. It's easy and free. You don't have to be a programmer. Just drag and drop everything into place. It's your website, your style. Show the world what you can do. Go to Wix.com and create your own stunning website today. It's easy and free.
Piedmont Attorney Spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with Principal Office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy. And get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional and installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels, too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
Hey, Berkey Guy here. Are you still drinking unfiltered tap water? Does your water contain chlorine or fluoride? Will you have drinkable water in an emergency? The Berkey Guy is here to help you remove these and other potential contaminants from your water, thus helping you drink clean, purified water. We offer Berkey water purification systems at the lowest available prices online. Don't go another moment without Berkey system. Over the last 10 years, we've helped thousands drink clean, purified water. Join them by visiting GoBerkey.com or call me, the Berkey Guy, at 877-886-3653. That's 877-886-3653.
Hi, this is Walt Augustinowicz. I'm the founder and CEO of ID Stronghold. By now you've heard our commercials about wallets that protect you from electronic pickpocketing. 10 years ago, I created a way to protect my own cards from prying eyes after government officials started talking about issuing a national ID card with a built-in radio chip called RFID. I felt having to broadcast my personal information was an invasion of privacy. Soon after, it was also announced that credit cards, debit cards, U.S. passports, hotel room keys, and even transit passes would all soon incorporate RFID. It was then I formed ID Stronghold to share my inventions in blocking RFID signals with the world. There are a lot of misconceptions out there today about RFID. I encourage everyone to get informed and get protected. Please go to IDStronghold.com and get the facts and the wallet sleeves or badge holders you need to protect your personal financial data. You'll be pleasantly surprised that through our direct sales model, you won't pay more than other comparable unprotected wallets. It is as though the protection is free. Visit IDStronghold.com today.
Okay, open your mouth and say, aw.
Getting a good view of a sore throat can be difficult, but the new doctor-recommended sore throat exam kit from SayAwNow.com makes it easy. A first-of-its-kind, scientifically designed oral retractor to relax the tongue, minimize gag reflex, and increase visibility. Our made-in-the-USA kit also includes a medical-grade reference chart, easy-to-use website and app so that you're one click away from unparalleled sore throat information. Click SayAwNow.com. SayAwNow.com, a must-have for your family's medical preparedness.
Hi, my name is DeRay. Suffering from migraines, having Botox injections in my head and neck to alleviate pain, costing $1,500 out of my pocket. I discovered Dr. Ortman and Gentle Touch Chiropractic Adjustment called NUCA. I'm migraine-free since my first adjustment. Thanks for giving me my life back, Dr. Ortman. I wish they prescribed you instead of Botox.
Thanks, DeRay. Putting the bones back in place is only half of the solution. We design a nutritional supplement program the body can handle and actually absorb, providing nutrients targeting the problem area. Between NUCA and nutrition, we will have you on the road to a faster and more permanent recovery. Look us up on the web at drwortman.com or call 952-303-9124. Let us help you feel better faster. Wellspring Spinal Care at 952-303-9124. Again, that's 952-303-9124. Or on the web at drortman.com.
Across America, this is the Dr. Joy Brown Show. Call Dr. Joy at 855-99-DR-JOY.
Dr. Joy, you have amazing insights, so I'm happy that I found you.
Me too. Thanks, Jess. How might I help you?
I talked to you before about, it's been a couple months ago, that I was forgetting stuff, especially with in relation to my husband, things he would tell me, and you said to write everything down, and I did. I have a little notebook now that I keep in my purse. And
cool. Has that helped?
Yeah, and the hardest part is just looking at it often, you know. It's nice to know that I can write something down and kind of let go of it and not stress so much, but then...
Well, the writing down actually can help your memory, and I would get in the habit of checking it, like, for example, checking it at mealtimes, checking it at breakfast, checking it at lunch, and checking it at dinner. So it just sort of attached to other things, so you don't have to think about remembering to check. You just check it at various times.
Okay, yeah, I like that. So my... question today is sort of, there's a recurring theme that is that my husband seems to feel that I'm not at home enough, and it's partly true. I work full-time, and I have a 2-hour commute, 1 hour each way, and I work 4 days a week. So, you know, 8 hours of my week is driving, and then
what is he when he says you're not home? Does that mean not home with him?
Yeah.
How often? Yeah. What's his commute?
He doesn't have a commute. He stays home with our three-year-old, and he works from home, although he's been working less. I mean, yeah, he probably makes less than $1,000 a month at this point. So he's pretty much a stay-at-home dad. And
well, it sounds like you guys have done a role reversal, right? He's the little wife staying at home saying, you're never here, I don't have anything to do. And, I mean, it's too bad he's not calling, because what I would say to him is that what he needs to do is get out of the house more, that he needs to not make you the sole source of his adult interactions, because you'll feel claustrophobic. You've been out of the house all day, and when you get home and he just sort of gloms onto you, it's going to make you feel claustrophobic and him feel like you're pushing him away. So he needs to join a mommy's group or a daddy's group, or get out of the house, or join, you know, go work out or something, so that he feels that he has some other adult connections.
Yeah, I agree with that. He will tell me, though, that he's fine being at home and he's happy there. And
well, but he's clearly not.
Yeah.
So what does he want? What's his solution for you being home more? What does he want?
Well, he doesn't like, I guess, I have several sort of what he considers extracurricular things that I do. So on my 3 days off, one of the days I do a physical therapy thing for an hour.
What does that mean?
I have a muscle problem, so it's like a 12-week physical therapy thing, so he's okay with that. But I'm also doing therapy, like an hour of therapy a week, and then I have a group that I go to for dual diagnosis for like an hour and a half a week.
What is the dual diagnosis? What does that mean?
ADHD, I guess, and I've had a past with depression, and then more recently, like just alcohol and in my further back in my past, like painkillers. So.
Well, the problem is, so you're, what days are you off?
So I'm off Monday, Thursday, Friday.
So
my Monday is generally like I try to put all the that stuff on Monday so that I get it all over with in one
what
day.
What time does he get up in the morning?
He gets up around 9:30.
Okay. What if you sort of tried to do your physical therapy, and I know that this is going to be you having to get up on a morning you don't normally have to get up, but I think he's got a legitimate point. Think about it in the roles reverse. Think if you were home taking care of the baby, he was gone basically from morning to night 4 days a week, and on the days he was there, it wiped out half a day. I mean, so what I would do is sort of see, for example, if you can get him involved in the gym, so that he went to the gym at 9 o'clock, you know, on 4 days a week. So on one of the days that you're home, that he's home, that if you get your physical therapy session at 7:30, you get, you can probably, it may be that one of your therapists would meet you at 8:30, and one could meet you at 9:30. So he works out at the gym till 10. You pick him up at the gym at 10. He's gotten to sleep in late. You've gotten all your therapy done at a time that doesn't impact him at all. Because I think what he's saying, Jessica, is, you know, I don't matter. That, and I mean, again, you've done kind of a role reversal here, because I hear this a lot from stay-at-home moms of, he's never home, and when he's home, he's not here. He'll go play golf, or he'll go, you know, have lunch with the guys. And it's really, again, the appearance of being reasonable is sometimes even more important than being reasonable. And so see if you can't figure out a time that doesn't impact him, so he feels that you're important to him. I understand that you need some time to yourself as well, but if you can take it, for example, you'd probably be better served to go work out at lunch. Find a gym near your office so you get an hour's lunch instead of having lunch that you don't really want or need. Go work out. So you're still getting a workout 4 days a week, but it's in time that doesn't affect him at all. Right? Just think about it from his point of view. I think the issue isn't necessarily do this or do that, but hear it from his point of view. He's lonesome. He does need to have more adult interactions. But, you know, you need to make him feel that he's important to you. And that's what he's not feeling right now. He's feeling she runs the roost, she brings in the money, she sets her schedule whenever she wants, and even when she's with me, she doesn't really want to be with me. And presumably you do care about him, so make him feel more important to you. See what you can do about that, all right? Ari, you're on the air. I'm Dr. Joy Brown. Hi.
Hi, can you hear me?
I can.
Hi, my name is Ari.
Ari, sorry.
I've talked to you.
Get it, Ari, sorry? Never mind, okay.
Yeah. I've never heard that before.
Yeah.
It's so nice to talk to you. You're wonderful. Your staff is wonderful. Thank you very much for talking to me.
My pleasure. How may I help you?
I am volunteering this week in the evenings at a vacation Bible school.
Okay.
And I'm not one of the leaders. I'm just there sort of to help. And the group that I was with last night, there were 13, 10, and 11-year-olds. And
females or males?
Well, there was only one male.
Okay.
And four of the girls have an attitude like I have never seen.
Yeah, an 11-year-old with attitude is serious attitude.
And I don't know what I can do about it to help the
other kids. Give me an example of misattitudes.
Okay. At the beginning of the evening, we played a game, and I wasn't involved at this point. I was just watching.
Okay.
And as the adult was saying, you know, this, you go on this team and you go on this team, he said to one of the girls, you go on this team, and the other two girls tried to go with her.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, no, you go on this team. And then they started like this shoving match between them. You go over there, you go over there. No, I don't want to go over there. And eventually they all got to be on the same team, and somebody else in their team went to the other team.
Oh, he folded.
During that same game, one of them said, I don't know why we have to play this game. It's stupid.
Okay. All right. So I would have done having run groups with this age kid for a while and understand that they, you know, as they get a little older, they get a little less awful, believe it or not, because they get distracted by boys as opposed to just kind of wannabes. They're the tweens. And as one of our callers pointed out, that they're being prematurely socialized and sexualized. And so they feel, and quite often a sense of entitlement and working parents and yada yada. All right. So what do you do with the first part of kids wanting to be on the same team? What I would have said is, listen, there's so much fabulosity with the four of you that we want to divide it evenly. How can they argue with that? In other words, if you say, look, you little creeps, I'm in charge, you'll do it my way, you lose. You never get in a tug of war with an 11-year-old, because if you win, you're a bully, and you lose, you're an idiot. So you just don't play. And the best way of doing it is to just sort of toss out something to them that is both flattering and completely inarguable. You know, there's just too much fabulosity in this room for one team. We're going to divvy you up. All right, so then when they say the game is stupid, say, okay, guys, how can you smarten it up? In other words, instead of opposing them, which you will lose, because they're 11,
right,
what you do is say, okay, tell me what you'd like to do. Now, what they're going to say is, whatever, I don't know. And what you're going to say is, that's okay, get back to me when you do. We will all wait to hear your pronouncements.
Oh, I wish you were there.
Well, but you can practice. Remind yourself how you were when you were 11, which was a big snot. And basically what you, because it's an insecure age, it really is. These kids are just coming out of the cocoon of elementary school where everything felt safe, and their parents still made them feel safe. And they're sort of not quite on the, you know, cool girls and mean girls and boys and having any sense of self-confidence. And they all hate their bodies, and they're all convinced that they're ugly and they're crazy and no one will ever like them. It's a really insecure age. And then when you sort of add a dollop of kind of pseudo-sophistication and sexuality, they're very brittle little creatures. So what you do is just jolly them along by making them sort of both aware and feeling. You make them feel good about themselves, because people who feel good about themselves are very pliable. People who feel awful about themselves are very brittle.
Okay.
And that's the best kind of rule of thumb I can give you, is how can I make this kid feel good about herself? Well, when she's saying, I don't want to be on this team, say, do you know what? I was going to put you in charge of this team. You know, how do we take and make this kid feel good rather than awful about herself? And that's a basic rule of thumb with any human being. If you can make somebody feel good about themselves, think about it. When we feel good about ourselves, we are generous, we are flexible, we have a good sense of humor, we are, you know, open. When we feel awful is when we will scratch somebody's eyes out.
Right.
So the clue is to make kids feel good about themselves.
Okay.
All righty?
Thank you.
Have fun.
Call Dr. Joy at 855-99-DR-JOY.
It's been on your mind all day because last night was, in a word, delicious, and you can't wait to do it again in the kitchen tonight with Plated. Plated is for busy people who love cooking fresh, exciting new dishes but don't have the time to drive all over town searching for chef-quality ingredients. With Plated, you don't have to. Here's how it works. Go to tryplated.com and choose from amazing chef-designed recipes each week. You'll find easy-to-prepare selections that fit everybody's taste. Then the culinary pros at Plated lovingly fill a refrigerated box with just the perfect pre-proportioned ingredients for your dinner, so nothing is wasted. Everything's delivered to your door. Fresh meat, poultry, fish, farm fresh veggies, spices, everything you need on the date you choose. And no worries if you aren't home. Your Plated box keeps everything fresh until midnight on the day it arrives. Prepare chef-quality meals in 30 minutes or less. Hurry over to tryplated.com now and get two meals free. That's right, two meals free. That's tryplated.com, tryplated.com.
You are an individual with your own thoughts, decisions, and actions. So why should you be penalized for not enrolling in the subpar health insurance mandated by the government when you can be truly independent with Liberty HealthShare, a bold, innovative alternative allowing you to take back control and make your own decisions about your health care? Mention this ad when you call to learn more. 800-714-6993. That's 800-714-6993. Liberty HealthShare. Together, we are one.
Okay, honey, I have to ask, and be honest here. Have you been taking a little blue pill? Because things have been pretty good in the bedroom lately.
No, I swear.
You didn't pick anything up at the Pharmacia last month in Cancun?
No.
Well, something's different.
I have been taking that heart and body extract you bought me.
But that's for your heart and to control your cholesterol.
Well, I read HB extract also promotes healthy prostate function.
I never guessed it would work this well, but...
But you're glad it did.
Oh, yeah.
Heart and body extract is a 100% organic formula that promotes a strong heart, healthy arterial flow, better circulation, improves erectile and prostate gland function, and provides youthful energy, strength, and stamina. Find out more at heartandbodyextract.com. Heart and Body Extract paired with healthy heart choices is a winning combination. Call toll-free to order or for free information. 1-866-295-5305. 1-866-295-5305.
Now a twice as nice twin kit special offer from Complete H2O Minerals for all GCN listeners. Get a Complete H2O Minerals twin kit with 33 different minerals, vitamins, and amino acids all in a liquid form. Enough for two people for 1 month. Regular price $89.95, but now Complete H2O Minerals is offering the twin kit for $69.95. And all GCN listeners receive a bonus 16-ounce bottle of Ionic Silver absolutely free with free shipping. A $120 total value. Hurry, limited time offer. Call 803-794-4767 or click CompleteH2OMinerals.com.
Honey, why are there fish swimming in our bathtub?
Aren't they cute? You need more omega-3s, and those fish oil pills with toxins and heavy metals are scary. So I'm making fish oil from scratch.
Oh boy, didn't I tell you I'm ordering Nutrigold fish oil? It's exceptionally pure.
That's what they all say.
No, really. Nutrigold's fish oil is concentrated from pure cold water fish straight off the Alaskan coast and manufactured right here in the USA.
Well, cold Alaskan waters are much more pristine than the polluted waters that other fish oils are sourced from.
That's what I'm saying. And it's five-star certified to meet international purity, potency, and freshness standards.
Well, that sounds even better.
Great. I'll be in my office ordering a few bottles. If I order now on www.fishoil.best, I can save $5 using the promo code MyFishOil. Honey, why are there bees in my office?
Get rid of those fish burps for good. Go to Nutrigold's U.S.-made fish oil products by going to www.fishoil.best and get $5 off by entering MyFishOil at checkout.
Talking about what really matters, your family, your relationships, your life. It's the Dr. Joy Brown Show at 855-99-DR-JOY.
All righty, 855-993-7569. Let me just share, we're going to go back to, let's go back to sexual harassment now, and I want to share a question that I got from a friend of mine a couple of weeks ago. That occurs to me to have a little bit to do with this and a little bit to do with some other things. But you know what? Let's finish up sexual harassment, and I'll do that next hour. And I'll also tell you about movies coming up. Alrighty?
Okay.
Alrighty.
Let's see where we were. Tony says, back in the 80s, I was management in a male-dominated field. I was experienced and I had been at the company for years. When they hired a new supervisor, that's when it all began. I thought with my experience I could handle the problem, but it just got worse when I reported it. There was a campaign to try and get rid of me. Phony, forged warnings, intimidation tactics, coercing my employees to say negative things about me. They wouldn't. It finally got so bad I had to quit. I filed a case with the CHRO, and the investigator was worse than my harasser. He removed documents from the file and dismissed my case for lack of evidence. Finally got a lawyer, and after 6 years, had my day in court. I prevailed, and the company now uses my case in their sexual harassment training. Wow.
Wow.
There's so much more to this story, but that's it in a nutshell. One of the most traumatic events in my life.
I should say, wow. Could you go through that again, sum up for me?
Read the whole thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because it got very complicated.
It was a little complicated. I could do it a little slower. But here we go. Back in the 80s, I was management in a male-dominated...
No, this is a female.
This is someone named Tony with an I. So
okay.
A female.
I think that may have been what confused me a little bit.
Oh, sorry,
okay.
Yeah.
But no, it's not your fault.
There's
okay.
A woman who says, back in the 80s, I was in management in a male-dominated field. I was experienced and had been at the company for years. When they hired a new supervisor, that's when it all began. I thought with my experience I could handle the problem, but it just got worse when I reported it. There was a campaign to try and get rid of me, phony forged warnings, intimidation tactics, coercing my employees to say negative things about me. They wouldn't. It finally got so bad I had to quit. I filed a case with the CHRO, and the investigator was worse than my harasser. He removed documents from the file and dismissed my case for lack of evidence. Finally got a lawyer, and after 6 years had my day in court. I prevailed, and the company now uses my case in their sexual harassment training. There's so much more to this story, but that's it in a nutshell. One of the most traumatic events in my life.
Yeah, it is. And I think things have changed a little bit, or at least I'd like to think that they've changed a little bit. In that the 80s were kind of the watershed area, I think, when a lot of the laws changed, when a lot of the public perceptions changed. I think one of the things that we listed on Facebook as something for you folks to respond to is public campaigns that have been effective. And I'm not sure that the whole issue about lack, you know, sexual issues in the workplace has been the most effective, but I think it has changed. The idea of my first job, I was just married. I had moved up to Boston, and I was looking for a job. I was putting myself and a husband through graduate school, and I got invited to a very famous and well known employment agency. And they sent me on a job interview, and the job interview was after hours, which I thought was a little weird, because, you know, they said, make sure, I'm trying to remember exactly how they said to dress. They said dress, they didn't say provocatively, because even I'm not so stupid that I would not have picked that up, but they said something, and so I wore my little trousseau suit, which was a little blue, you know, crop jacket, and then a little skirt, and I'd bought the hat, because this was something that you did, in the children's department. It was a little blue, like, Jackie Kennedy-looking hat. And this is what I showed up. And he was actually, it was not that, it was for the president of a very large, very well-known corporation. And this was his executive assistant hiring, essentially, a mistress. Which, it took me years to figure this out. And what he said, what she said was, we need you to travel. And I said, well, I can do that. And they said, we need you to act as a hostess. And I said, oh, yeah, I'm really good at that. And they said, and we need you to be his hostess. And I said, well, you know, I'm good at serving drinks. You know, I'm a good bartender. Completely missing the point here. And they and I was clearly married. I mean, I had a wedding ring on. And they said something. And the point being that I was going to have to spend nights away from home. And I, first of all, I looked like, you know, like Mary Poppins. Well, I didn't have the umbrella. At some point, even I got the point that they were saying, you're going to sleep with this guy. And I thought, he's having somebody at his business hire a mistress for him? And they said, well, we need somebody from one of the Seven Sister Schools. And I said, well, I went to Rice, which is much harder to get into than Seven Sister Schools. He wanted
basically, he wanted a mistress, and he was going through his company to hire it. And I think that the agency knew it, because when I told them, I think I went into the agency in the same outfit that I'd worn to the thing, and they said, "Do you wear that?" And I think they wanted me to wear it. They said something that was appropriate for like a party or something. And this was my version of, because I figured, you know, it was a job interview, so you go in looking like you're ready for a job. And that would not happen today, or at least I don't think it would happen today. That it was kind of one of those well-known, kind of almost dirty jokes. And I just was, you know, I was protected from it mostly because I was so stupid that I didn't figure out that it was going on. I just didn't know. But I don't think that would happen today. I don't think it would happen, first of all, on company property. Second of all, I don't think it would happen. I don't think a reputable agency would get involved with it. I mean, I just think there are so many things that just would never happen. But man, it happened then. And it wasn't actually sexual harassment per se, but it was certainly sexual. It was certainly inappropriate, and probably could have sued them. But so I think that the times have changed. And as I said, I was not particularly undone by it. I guess when I figured out what was going on, and to be quite honest, I don't think I actually figured it out. I think somebody said, "Are you kidding me?" And then someone else I was talking about it said, "Was this the company?" And I said, "Yeah." And they said, they were notorious for doing that kind of thing. So it was kind of well known in the biz. I just wasn't well known in my biz. I didn't know anything about it. But it's one of those sort of cautionary tales, I suppose. And for anybody that's really happened to, especially in a public thing, as I said, I was really relatively protected because I just didn't understand what was going on. But, I mean, I am very defensive when women get accused of, you know, when they accuse somebody, and the Bill Cosby case is a good example of those women being really vilified. The Arnold Schwarzenegger, women being vilified of them saying, "Well, they're just trying for a payoff." They're not. They're really quite often working women who are trying to support their kids, and they're getting some yo-yo who says, you know, "If I pay your salary, I have access to anything that you have to offer." Not. 855-993-7569. I'm Dr. Joy Brown.
Miss a show? No problem. Download the podcast right now at drjoy.com.
Healthy, organic, fresh fish, robust, mouth-watering vegetables, all from your home. It's called aquaponics. This brilliant, self-sustaining protein and veggie system is perfect for year-round growing. Know exactly where your food is coming from. AquaponicsSource.com is the one-stop shop for all your needs. Fish, fish food, plumbing, full systems, classes, and more. Learn to build your own system. Go to AquaponicsSource.com for a free guide to aquaponics. That's AquaponicsSource.com.
My name's Clyde, age 59, and I reside in Florence, South Carolina. The doctors diagnosed me as having clogged arteries. It felt like I was carrying heavy concrete blocks around my feet and legs. I started taking Heart and Body Extract as directed. It is less than 3 weeks, and I'm like a young man again. It's unbelievable that an herbal formula can work so fast and so powerfully.
Learn the secrets of an effective, natural, 100% organic nutritional supplement for a healthy heart and circulation at hbextract.com.
Mike Stenerson from Midas Resources. At no time in history have precious metals been more important, certainly not in my 22 years in the industry. The dollar has lost over 90% of its value in the last 60 years. No fiat currency has ever survived the government printing presses. Ours is not immune. The time is now to be proactive. 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Anything tied to the dollar is at risk. CDs, annuities, 401ks, IRAs, stocks, bonds, you name it. So decide. Do you want to leave a legacy of wealth or debt for your family? The choice is yours. Call me at 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Be proactive, not reactive. Call 1-800-686-2237, extension 116.